All right, Psalm 100. So just five verses here, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I am convinced that the Bible contains the totality of truth that God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that we need. I'm likewise convinced that careful study of the commands and principles of Scripture reveal a framework of truth through which God reveals how he wants to be worshiped, how we interact with him. By the way, there's great danger in thinking that God does not care how we worship him, how we interact with him, how we serve him. We could go back to Cain. We could, and his sacrifice that he offered of the fruits of the field. We could talk about Nadab and Abihu and the strange fire that they offered. We could talk about King Uzziah, who usurped the role of the priest and tried to go in and offer incense in the temple. There's numerous examples of God rejecting worship born out of our will and not his. I'm not saying there's not room for liberty in many matters, but I am saying there is a what I would call a robust framework of truth that reveals God's character and expectations, and we cannot neglect that system of truth. Give you a quick illustration to kind of help you understand what I'm talking about. This semester down at the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary, I'm teaching historical books too, through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. At the beginning of the semester, I give out a syllabus. If you've ever taken a college course, I guess some high school courses maybe do it too, but a lot of college courses, you get a syllabus. And that has out the requirements, the expectations for the course. Now, there is on there an assigned reading. We have a textbook, and they've got to read certain chapters in that, and I actually have them answer questions to prove that they read it. That's on there. There's also a term paper that's due at the end of the semester. And each student, now I'm very specific on this. I don't just say, write me a paper. I say how many words it is. I tell them I want it to be a biography of one of the key figures that we study in that historical period of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. And I'm very helpful. I give them a list of six possible choices: Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon, Elijah, or Elisha. Those are the six choices. I said, write me a paper, a research paper, biography of one of those six people. And honestly, beyond that, I'm a sucker. I am very lenient when I grade. Somebody told me that the Bible colleges, you want pastors teaching the classes because they're too nice and they make the classes easy. I think I have fallen in. I always said I would be really hard, and I'm not. But basically, as long as they turn in a paper that's the right length and it's on one of those six people, they're going to get a good grade. Don't tell them I said that, okay? But that's basically, I don't require a whole lot. Just write the right paper on the right subject. Now, if a student, knowing those requirements, which I reiterate to them, which is in the syllabus, which we go over at the beginning of the semester and we'll remind them of, but let's say they instead turn in a paper on John the Baptist or George Washington, well, now we've got a problem. That's not what the expectation is. That's not what the requirement was. They will, I say will, but I'm, like I say, I'm very nice. I'm a nice teacher. They will get a failing grade for failing to follow the instructions on what was expected or required. If I've clearly stated and put into writing what the requirement was, the fault doesn't lie with me. It lies with the student. They did not do what they were supposed to do. Essentially, that is the same situation we have in the Christian life. God has given us clear commands and principles in his holy word. This is, if you will, the syllabus for the Christian life. And God gives us requirements, and he tells us what he expects. Our subject today is thanksgiving. We are commanded to give thanks so many times in scriptures. We could go forever talking about the different illustrations and commands on that. One of the clearest ones you can go to, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. God expects us to be thankful, and especially to him, for the countless blessings that he has given to us. But how do we do that? Here's the question. God says, be thankful. Show me thankfulness for what I do to you. Well, he doesn't leave us to wonder how to do that. Do you write him a thank you card? I'm really bad about that. I still owe a bunch of people thank you cards from the last couple of months. Do you sacrifice a turkey as a burnt offering and watch football? You know, is that how you show God thanksgiving? No, here in Psalm 100, very quickly, and this is scary, but there's seven things I want to go very quickly through here that God tells us how to show him thankfulness. There's seven things in here. And I think these will find meaningful methods of expressing our thanks to God. I'm focused on to God, not to other people right now. We're going to focus on God first. First off, we need to get others involved. In verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, as I got to studying this and was putting this together, I realized this basically, I could go really in depth here and go into a Hebrew word study. And there's a lot of words here that are used when you study worship in the Old Testament and in Psalms. I'm going to refer to some Hebrew words here. They're just very interesting. I've studied out a lot of these. It's a fascinating study. But that word joyful noise comes from a Hebrew word called ruah. And it carries many ideas. This is the shout of a battle cry. I think of the rebel yell right there, but that's, you know, it's my heritage. It's a shout for joy or celebration. Think about some of those football games, not the Aggies, but some of the other football teams yesterday, and a shout of joy, celebration. Also, it relates to the blowing of trumpets. It's a loud noise that's described here. And in this context, it's praise, but it's a group of people, and I mean, it's a celebration. It's joyful. This rise of this cry. But notice here, it's also communal. It says, all ye lands. This isn't just one person saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done to me. This is a call for all people, everyone that draws a breath, to lift their voice up and praise God. I thought back to, and I go back to sports here, you can forgive me, but in 2011, I had to look it up, remember what year it was, but Becky and I had an opportunity to go to one of their playoff games, one of the first times they went to the World Series. And we were at the game where they're playing the Detroit Tigers. It was game 2. I had to look that up too. But where it went to extra innings, and Nelson Cruz hit a walk-off grand slam. Talk about sports moments, just electric. That place went nuts when he hit that home run. And everybody, nobody left. Everyone's just a hooping and a hollering as he rounds the bases, and they're jumping up and down celebrating. I mean, it's one of the neatest sports experiences I've ever had, was to be there at that moment to see that happen. Afterwards, once people start filing out, Becky can tell you about this too, we get out, and then the old ballpark, you get on those escalators, because we get the seats we can afford at the very top, you know. But you get on the escalators, and you go down. Well, it get real quiet, and then all of a sudden somebody go, woo! And then everybody had just started a hooping and a hollering again. It get quiet, and somebody go, go Rangers! And oh, everybody just get, it was one of the craziest things I've ever experienced. But there was just all this joy and excitement. I think of that here with this word and with this command, because thanksgiving should be contagious. Boy, once somebody starts thanking God, you ought to want to jump on board. And when you start thanking God, you ought to want other people to join in. Let's just keep this thing going. This is a great train we've got rolling here. Let's all jump on board and shout out, sing out, speak out the praises of God. The second thing I want to say is we need to get busy serving. Verse number 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, a lot of focus today is on worshiping God, and it's surprising to me how many people neglect this, but anybody ever read the book, The Five Love Languages? What was the guy who wrote that? Chapman? Is that right? I've never read it, but I've seen the material and stuff. It's a very good book. But I do remember one of those love languages is acts of service. Some people, the way you show love to them is not by words of affirmation. I remember that one too. I don't remember all of them. I remember a few of them. Physical touch, wasn't that one of them? Anyway, somebody will be like, yeah, I know them all. You know, you should have studied this. But yeah, that's Jenna's. Physical touch is Jenna's. That's why I keep trying to convince her, and she does not agree with me. So I go up and give her a hug, and I said, that's your love language. She goes, no. But anyway, but that acts of service, you realize one of the ways we show God love is acts of service, is working for Him, is serving Him. A lot of times we neglect that. We think, oh, worshiping Him, praising Him is emotion, it's shouting, it's maybe giving. But how many of us say, you know what, I'm going to show God love by working for Him, by serving Him? It's not just a simple duty. There is joy to it. By the way, I thought about this. Some of the funnest times I've ever had, and this is really crazy to think about, have been times where we were working. I don't know what it is. And part of this is just because you get a bunch of guys together and the brain cells just shut off. And I think back, and one of those moments you had to be there, I know, but the couple of summers I worked up at Mount Salem Revival Grounds, the youth camp up in West Virginia, this one night they had just built the gym over there. Dad knows what I'm talking about. It's kind of apart from the rest of the camp. They just got that built. It's a big deal. They were getting ready for the summer camp, and we were there that first week. Well, they had some basketball goals, but they didn't have any lines on the floor. It's just the concrete floor then. I think they've got a real floor in there now. So they decided, you know what? We're going to get some paint, and we are going to paint the lines. Like, we can get tape measures. We can do that. You know, guys do this kind of stuff. So they get a few of us, the teen workers that they trusted, and there's three or four of us, Toby, me, and a couple other guys. And we were down there working with them. And this is about 2, 3 in the morning. One of the pastor there, his name is Brother Judd. He was kind of crazy. He discovered that the name of the red paint that they got was Ruby Lips. And so he's painting away. And we, you know, laying down masking tape and painter's tape and had a little roller rolling these lines. And he starts singing, Ruby Lips. It was one of the funniest things. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you're tired and you're working. But I'm telling you, I remember that thinking. We were up there working, it was crazy, we were tired. But it was one of the funniest, most fun things I think I've ever experienced, because it was just, we're out there working, we're having a good time. You know, if you want to show thankfulness to God, you express it with your hands and your feet in active service. And by the way, in doing so, you will find great joy. The third thing is we need to get close to Him. The end of verse number 2. Come before His presence with singing. First off, coming into His presence implies a relationship. One of the best ways to show thankfulness is to spend time with someone. I like that, the saying about little kids. They say little kids don't spell love, L-O-V-E. They spell it T-I-M-E. I always love that little saying. If you want to show somebody thankfulness, you spend time. By the way, have you ever done something for somebody, maybe helped them out financially, and then you never hear back from them? They ghost you, they disappear, and you see them years, months later, and you ever had that experience before? That's kind of the opposite of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to create and strengthen a relationship. Also here, that singing is joyous, it's celebratory. It's a very rare Hebrew word there, renana, that's used. And But it's joyous, and we're literally, I like this, we're literally bringing the Thanksgiving right to its object. We're giving the Thanksgiving straight to the person it's due. Can you imagine, if you will, you know, somebody does something, let's say somebody does something for me, somebody buys me a book, I like books, somebody buys me a book, Say Jack buys me a book, and then I'm, oh, great, I've always wanted this book. But what if I go to Bill and say, Bill, I'm so thankful Jack bought me a book. What if I go over here to Gary and say, Gary, guess what? Jack bought me this book. I'm so thankful. But you know who the person I need to be thankful for is? Go to Jack and say, Jack, thank you. It's not really thankfulness if I tell everybody and not the person that deserves it. So I like that here. When we give our thanksgiving to God, don't just tell everybody. Go to God. Tell him directly. Be thankful to him. The fourth thing is to get transformed. Verse 3 is the apex of this. This is one of those psalms that builds up kind of like a, I kind of picture it as a hill. We climb up the hill and we get to the apex and then we go back down. Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. But we need to get transformed. This right here, when we talk about thanksgiving, this knowing God, this relationship, it's so amazing. God is molding us, and that kind of is a catalyst for us to give him thanks. But also as he's molding us, he's making us more thankful. Everything about what God is doing in our hearts and our lives ought to be driving us to be more thankful. We thank God because he is good and he does good towards us. We're shaped by our response. We become more thankful. Thankfulness breeds thankfulness. It's a very simple idea, but thankfulness breeds thankfulness. God does not just desire thanksgiving for his enjoyment. He knows that it's good for us. He knows that that's the heart we need. We start seeing more to be thankful for. And by the way, you look at that verse, that's what it is. It just lists out reasons why you ought to be thankful to God. We've seen more to be thankful for. We start finding expressing thankfulness even more. And then we start finding more ways to show our thankful heart. It's a catalyst. It builds on itself and keeps going. The fifth thing, verse number 4, I call this one get involved. It's very similar to our first point, but verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. In the first verse, we see a person calling on everybody else to join them. This, it's kind of reversed. This is a person going and joining a group that's already praising. The gates and courts here, I think, refer to the temple, because you would go in there to worship, to offer your sacrifices, to pray, to sing, and you would enter in. I think that's what's being described as going into the temple. The Jews would gather there every single day to worship. And like I said, I don't think this is necessarily about drawing closer to God in the temple. I think this may be about joining into that community of believers. When we gather, we should do so with thankfulness. The Hebrew word there is toda. I like that one, toda. It's fun to say. And in our hearts and on our lips, it means to cast it, and we're giving it out. This is then we then join in the song of praise. That word there is tehillah. I like that one just because it's fun to say too. But that's praise. It's a noun right there that we're joining in to something that's there. It's already part of the congregation. We're just walking in and the song's already started and we're joining in the singing. Thanksgiving should not be a private affair, but one that we can share and join with others. The sixth thing, verse number 4, it says, be thankful unto him. This word is one of my favorites in studying out these Hebrew words for thanksgiving and praise and things. This word is yada, which is also fun to say because, you know, yada, yada, yada and stuff like that. Just, it's fun to say. This is the verb form of toda I just mentioned before. By the way, if you ever get into charismatic word studies of this, they always miss that this is a verb and a noun and they're the same word. They have these as two separate words. Don't get me started. The most literal meaning here of this verb is to cast something with your hand. This is a word that can mean to like throw a rock or even an arrow. It's translated many ways based on context. It can mean praise, thank, or confess. And I like that idea because it's the idea of throwing something out there, of like I say, if I'm going to throw a rock, say you're skipping rocks or something out there. I can't keep it in my hand. I have to let it go. I have a target I'm aiming at. I'm going to skip it across that water. I like that idea of here because that's what we do with our thanksgiving. We don't keep it inside. We cast it out. And by the way, we also have a target. We have an object for it. And sometimes we will have a jar of something in the cabinet or the fridge you don't want to open, just because once you open it, you got to use it, right? Right now, I just saw it there. I ate some queso last night, and I had to look for a jar of queso. Once you open a jar of queso, you got to eat it all. You know, it's just the way it rules. But I saw there, I don't know why, but noticed it, but we had a deal of Alfredo sauce in a little jar there. We just hadn't used. And I thought about this when I saw that last night. I'd already had this sermon typed out, but I thought about this because once you open that, you don't eat Alfredo sauce all the time. It's like when you're eating it, you might as well just use the whole thing, because if you try to say you're not going to reuse the little bit in the bottom of the jar, you might as well use it all. If you don't use it, it's going to go bad. Let me tell you something. Thanksgiving is actually the opposite of this. Thanksgiving goes bad when we keep it. For Thanksgiving to be fresh and alive, it has to be given out. It has to be cast out. It has to be used. So Thanksgiving is something, it goes bad. It really does. It goes bad when you keep it inside. You have to cast it out and use it. And the seventh thing here, we need to get God exalted. Get him exalted. Verse number 4 there at the very end, it says, and bless his name. Another Hebrew word here, this one is barak. And this literally means to kneel. This is to bow, to kneel before, in homage, before a king or before God. And it means, there's two sides to this coin of this word. One is that we humble ourselves before God. The other is that we are exalting and praising God. We humble ourselves while we exalt him. These are the two key ideas in worship. We humble ourselves, we lift him up. And by the way, Oxen, that's not just worship, that is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an expression of worship. True thanksgiving, its goal is to glorify God, not ourselves. I've heard people give testimonies before that they're thanking God, and most of it they're patting themselves on the back. You got to be careful about folks like that. It's not about our glory. That's why I like that. We're bowing, we're kneeling, we're laying prostrate. We're getting ourselves out of the picture so all the glory and honor is going to him. True thanksgiving gives all the honor and glory and praise to its object, which is God.